Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Can we celebrate the King of Glory? The Lord of Lords, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come. He said, by him were all things made. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of man. The light shineth in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. By his words, heavens were created. Every one of us are standing because we have borrowed his breath on our nostrils. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Can you celebrate this God? We are so blessed that God is here with us tonight. Can you lift your hands and just honor him from the depths of your heart? Just thank him for the gift of life. If that's all we do tonight, it's enough. In heaven, it's an honor to stand in the presence. Gabriel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence. It's a matter of rank to stand in the presence of God. But for us who are his children, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. You don't need any clearance level. You have Christ, you have the Holy Ghost. That's the clearance you require. Can you give him the glory tonight? Thank him for his Lord.
You are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the man.
Help me, choir. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of life and existence. Thank you for the honor of being numbered into your eternal agenda. Thank you for the grace that you've given graciously, empowering us to fulfill your purpose on the face of the earth. Tonight we have come to draw from your everlasting fountains. Lord, we ask that we are refreshed. We ask that we are reinvigorated. We ask that we are redirected. And above all, we ask that there be a reset in everyone here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big hand as you take your seat in his presence. Glory to God. Tonight I trust the Lord to bring a quick word, and then we pray just briefly before we bring the meeting to a close. I began on Sunday on the subject of reset. That can be a part one. Tonight I do a part two of the subject. We began on Sunday attempting to define what it means for a man's life to be reset. And we say, cardinally speaking, there are three major things that happens in the life of a man that God is resetting. Number one, we say that man will be compelled to repent. Because God will expect you to move from realms of glory to higher realms of glory. Repentance can be departure from sin to righteousness. But even when you come into righteousness, you require repentance. Because it means to turn around. So you look from one glory to another glory. Because when you come into God, you will discover that his dimensions are everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. You can't exhaust God. And so the more you behold, the more you see. And so God will carry you from one level to another. And then we said the second thing that the subject entails is renewal. God will make you anew. Because the focus of God is not primarily to give us things. The focus of God is to make us. Because when we are made, things become the byproduct. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. The moment they were made, he said, let them have dominion. Because you can't be like God and not dominate. Dominion becomes a DNA thing. Anywhere you put God, changes happen. And so God wants us renewed so that we come into the understanding of our identity in Christ. So the second thing resetting entails is a renewal, a mental reprogramming until you only see yourself how God sees you. Because circumstances will want you to see yourself in the contrary. There are many people who believe they are failures. There are many people who believe they are finished. But when God encounters you, you will discover that's not a possibility in your realm. You see things from a superior dimension. So reset entails renewal. And then number three, resetting or reset entails realignment. God brings you to himself so that nothing else takes your attention from God. God becomes your priority. And as you come into God's realm, functioning from God's class, you discover that you become a superior entity on the face of the earth. When Paul was describing us, it was difficult for him to have a name. And so he said, we are new creatures. And he said, we were created in Christ Jesus for every good works. So we are new creatures created in God to carry out God's assignment. It's the highest privilege and honor of existence. But you must be reset to function in that reality. And so I said there must be repentance, renewal, and there must be realignment. And I said when this happens, three things are a byproduct. Number one, I said there will be revival. Anybody who is reset is set aflame for God. And I said apart from that, there will also be transformation. He becomes like God. We all with open faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. So when people see you, they begin to see God in you. When you talk, they see the wisdom of God. When things happen around you, they see the favor of God. How come everybody was rejected? But when you walked in, they treated you like a king. There was a fragrance that came out of me. I've been transfigured into his likeness. And I said, finally, there will be direction. Nobody who is reset lacks direction. Only those who have not encountered him are confused. Those who touch him know what to do. Because himself, the Bible said, knew what to do. Look at the circumstances Jesus found himself in. He was in a boat sleeping. They tapped him. Master, carest not thou that we perish? Imagine you are in a boat and they woke you up abruptly and the boat was sinking. He looked at them. How long will I be with you? Faithless generation. Stood up, looked at the wind and said, be still. How did you know? How did he know? He taught people for 3 days. They were hungry. He said, give them something to eat. Somebody whispered, Master, they respect you here. Don't dishonor yourself. The population we have here, a year's wages can't suffice. So don't attempt it. Just encourage them to go. He said they will faint on the road. Let them faint. Their relatives will carry them. If you try it, your ministry will be discredited. Give them something to eat. Well, since you insist, you are the master. There's a little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's his lunch. Are we weekend to collect it? They didn't know what the master was seeing. He knew what to do. When he collected it, he gave thanks. He said, now, take, give them. If you were the one, would you return it to the boy? Take, give who? I collect the boy's lunch, I give to an elder. I won't do that. But as they broke the bread, it multiplied. As they broke the bread, it multiplied. I was wondering what their faces looked like. Now, when they finished, to surprise them, they ran where Jesus was walking for. He said, gather every fragment. Let nothing be wasted. Is there enough to gather? We fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves. We didn't count women and children. What do you mean gather? What? When they gathered, they found 12 baskets. I'm telling you direction. When you are moving, people think you are foolish. But when they see the outcome, they know that they have to follow you if they will survive. In the name of Jesus, somebody's life must be reset from tonight. Direction. But I said, for this to happen, you must be deliberate. Nobody is reset when it's lackadaisical about life. Everybody who breaks into this realm was deliberate. If there's one thing you will do this year, please be deliberate. If you are casual, I read a parable in the Bible that shook me to my spirit. The master gave money to three people. The one he gave 10, doubled it. The one he gave 5, doubled it. Those are deliberate people. Then the one he gave 1, who had the least responsibility, did nothing. He buried it. When the master showed up, the guy had the audacity to accuse him. He now said, collect what he has and give to the one who has 10. The people said, no, master, this guy already has too much. In the realm, they don't judge whether you have too much or not. They judge your appetite to have more. He said, to him that have and desires to have, more will be given him. He said, but to him that have not and desires not to have, even the little he has will be taken from him. That's why the poor grow poorer. The rich grow richer. And you are wanting, they are deliberate. It's only a poor man that wakes up at noon and says, no easy. You check when the rich man wakes up. First, he wakes up 3 a.m. for inspiration. Then by 5, when you are snoring as a poor man, he is ready to go to work. And then when he's conquering, you say, these wicked people, before you accuse anybody, check your life well. You must be deliberate. In this year, hold on to the horns of the altar and tell God, I'm not letting you go until something happens. The Jacob generation must rise. I won't let you go until you bless me. That's what I'm talking about. And if there's anybody here with hunger, your encounter is now. It's a deliberate thing. I say, why do we require a reset? Number one, to break free from sin and worldly distraction. Everywhere you turn, this world wants to corrupt you. So many times you need to come to his presence for a refresh. Acts 3:19, it says, repent and return to the Lord's presence, and times of refreshing will come. Times of refreshing. So we need to reset so that the corruption of this age will not destroy us. Because when you become a lover of the world, you become an enemy of God. James 4 verse 4, he says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And if you become an enemy of God, where will your help come from? The Bible says, my help cometh from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. So I can't afford to be an enemy of God. But the world is pulling me. That's why I need a reset. Number two, why do we need a reset? To focus on God's will. Because it's in focusing on God's will that our life is glorified. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added to you. So the things the worthy people pursue are the addendums of our lives. We were created to reign. Kings don't beg. When they come, they rule. But for you to function as a king, you must focus on the Lord. That's why you need a reset. Because the world wants to break your focus. Number three, why do you need reset? To overcome spiritual stagnation and burnout. You may be doing well, but you have been too long where you are. God is always moving. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. Don't maintain one intensity. The requirement of your destiny entails that you grow larger. Many people are in one spot for too long. And they are not just there. They are burnt out. Because where they are, their tasks are too many. I told you on Sunday, an arrow can be shot at you, you deflect it, which is good. But if you don't refuel, a point will come, you discover your strength will win. Because every arrow you deflect took something from you. It took energy for you to stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. So if a man is standing, he's emitting strength. So from time to time, he needs a reset so that he can stand. Otherwise, he will faint. And he said, if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because the enemy is strong. It's not because your God was not there. It's because your strength is little. That's why we need to reset. Number four, why do we need to reset? To reignite passion. Many lost their first love many years ago. But those who are reset, they are burning for God. Jesus said, the zeal of my Father's house have consumed me. John 2:17. A time should not come when you become weak in serving God. He said, be fervent in spirit. Hebrews 6:12. Serving the Lord. Why? Because in the last day, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24:12.
because iniquity shall abound. So we need our fire up. We need to keep burning. But God needs to keep working on us for that to happen. That's why we need a reset. And then number five, you need a reset to have clarity and direction. Every time God reduces you, you see better. And trust me, in this kingdom, your inheritance is tied to your sight. Genesis 13:14, lift up your eyes. It's what you see that I give you. It's not enough that I have promised. Have you seen it? This is why the attack of Satan is to blind us. He said, if our gospel be hid, if the summation of the power of God that we communicated is hid, if the inheritance of God in Christ that we communicate is hid, he said, is hid to them that are lost. Why are they lost? Because the God of this world blinded their eyes. I came to discover that even gods can fall. What keeps a God in his class is knowledge. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. He said, but you will fall like men. So if you are a God and you don't have knowledge, you will fall. That's why our God is called omniscient. It takes knowledge and understanding to remain in the God class. And the moment you lose direction and lose knowledge, you will fall like a man. So reset is important to bring you precision as you journey through destiny. Number six, why do we need reset? So that our joy and peace is restored. And you know that in this kingdom, joy is not happiness. Happiness is occasioned by possession of things. Joy is of the spirit. Joy comes from the presence. In Psalm 16 verse 11, thou will lead me in the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. That joy is not to make you happy. It's to keep you stable as you navigate through life. That's why Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I need joy to stand. For many a day that have risen up against me. In politics, in governance, in the media, in economics, in the academia. And they said, there's no hope for me. He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. You are a shield. See, there are warriors in this kingdom. But one of the weapons they have is the joy of the Lord. And finally, why do you need a reset? It's a preparatory requirement for a new season. Every time you step into a new season, there must be a reset of necessity. In Joshua 3 verse 5, he said, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. Tomorrow. If you will have a tomorrow, you must be reset today. This is why wise men prepare ahead. If you study Matthew 25, there were two sets of virgins. See, victory in life is not a function of purity. Purity is a weapon. It can help you, but you need many other things. They were virgins, but they were foolish. I tell people, there's a difference between faith and faithfulness. All of them are important. Faith is, can you trust God to take action? And faithfulness that is, can God trust you to entrust something to you? So you need both. When you are reset, the equation is complete. There is both faith and faithfulness. Prepare yourself for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. See, there are many people who wonders awaited them, but they were not prepared. So the time when they should ascend into their reality, they had no wings. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. They mount up with wings like the eagles. So you have wings, but can you mount up? Can you mount up? There's a place where you hide to mount up. That's what reset is about. This is why you must reset. There are too many dimensions in you that have not manifested. And so when God brings you to reset you, he wants to make you a wonder to your generation. From this meeting, many will step into new realms and new dimensions. Tonight, I want to show you the precursors for a spiritual reset. What are the forces that engenders a reset? See, in this kingdom, nothing is by chance. Anything happening is made to happen. And so if a man understands how it happens, he becomes a wonder. He said the acts of God was made manifest to the children of Israel, but they were powerless. The one who was powerful knew the ways of God. And so in addition to knowing the beautiful things God wants to do, you must know what to do to occasion them. Otherwise, you'll be at the mercy of luck and chance. And I've come to discover there's no such thing on earth. And even if there was, there are over 8 billion people on earth. When will your luck come? This is why he said, until the time of John, he said, the kingdom of God suffered violence. He said, the violent taketh it by force. It's called Catalambano. You take. You don't wait to be given. You take. If you see me when I'm taking, you have it. They don't give these things you're asking for. Those who have it took it. It's the anakazo realm of life. We take. Our body gives nothing. So you need to know the forces that make these things possible. And I give you a few of them quick. Number one is the force of encounters. Nobody's life can be reset except he has an encounter. Isaiah 6 from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple. And I saw also the seraphims, and they cried one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And as he was in that encounter, suddenly a question was asked, who will go for us? The prophet was not qualified. He had a title among men, but in the realm beyond the galaxies, where the immortals dwelt, he didn't have the parameters. He needed an encounter to prepare him. And suddenly he said, one of the seraphims took up the coals of fire and touched his tongue. There are things you will never be touched with until you go there. That's why John saw the voice of the seven thunders. He wanted to write. They said, these ones are not epistles. Only those who have encounters catch them. They are caught in the realm. And so for you to have a reset that will make you a wonder, you must have encounters. This is what turns charlatans to veterans in the kingdom. You look at Moses, a coward, became a deliverer. What happened? Genesis 2:15, when Pharaoh heard what Moses did and asked, who is Moses? Just by inquiring, he took off. But when he ran away, the Bible told us, in Exodus 3 from verse 1, Moses kept the sheep of his father-in-laws until he came to the backside of the desert, even Horeb, the mountain of God, and he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. The moment he came out of that encounter, guess where he went back to? The same Pharaoh he ran from. A coward can be a deliverer. It's the quality of encounters that makes the difference. And you will notice that when Moses returned, he didn't return as a man. Because Exodus 7 verse 1 said, behold, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. So he ran as Pharaoh's subject. Encounter turned him to a god to Pharaoh. I don't know who wants to kill you. I don't know who swore that you will fail. I don't know who said you are finished. But as you leave this mountain, when you return, you will not be the same person he saw. You left at his mercy, but you will return as a god to him. In the name of Jesus Christ. See, there are things in this kingdom for us. The Bible says, eyes have not seen. It says, ears have not heard. Neither has he occurred to the heart of man. That means everything you read in a book is not what God wants to do for you. Everything somebody spoke about is not what God wants to do. Even if I tell you now, God wants to make you, God has moved. Because the moment ear hears it, what God has become superior. I prophesy over someone. You walk out of this place as a champion in your generation. You step out of this place as a champion in your generation. When you have encounters install the credentials. Please sit down for a moment. You may be a coward. You are not more cowardly than Moses. A man who ran returned and he went to Pharaoh. The God of the Hebrews appeared to me and he said, let my people go that they may serve me. Pharaoh said, who is your God? How dare you come here? Are you not afraid? Who is your God? That was when he knew that the guy had changed. Moses dropped the rod. The rod became a serpent. Pharaoh said, well, you learned something, but my guys too know this. And his guys came, dropped theirs, but something happened. Moses' own swallowed their own. I don't know the demon that appeared to your enemy, but you have come to the mountain of God. They may have what looks like yours, but yours will conquer theirs. I come in the volume of the books. It was written about me.
to do your will, oh God. I come in the volume of the book, it was written about me, to do your will, oh God.
Paul was a murderer, and he was not just a murderer, he persecuted the church. That means he was not just guilty, but he was blind. But in Acts 9 from verse 4 to 5, on his way to Damascus to do damage to God's people, light appeared. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Nobody told him. He said, who are you, Lord? When you see what is from beyond your realm, you don't need to be told. And Jesus told him, it is hard to kick against the barbed wire. You can't kick against the prick. What is happening here was written before the foundations of the world. Now rise up. Go and you'll be told what to do. Encounters can change things. The one you are fighting began to give you commandment. Yes, sir. And he went. That's how somebody's story will change dramatically tonight. Encounters. Encounters. God has created systems to make encounters possible. And if you wish to have encounters, listen to these things carefully. Number one, to have encounters, you must have the law of burdens at work in your heart. Encounters only happen to those who have burdens. This is why sometimes you search for truth. There are times when I get discharged of all the spiritual burdens I have. I'm looking for meetings. Men who carry wars that can impregnate me. And when you come, somebody shoots a burden to you, and suddenly you have desire to help the poor. Suddenly you have desire to sponsor God's agenda. Suddenly you have desire for rulership so that you can help a nation. That burden becomes the channel through which God comes in. Moses had an encounter, but something provoked it. In Exodus 2:11, he said when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasures of Egypt. That burden was what drove him to kill an Egyptian. So when the burden woke up, God woke up. The moment there's a burden in your heart, he sends signal to heaven. Oh my God. And trust me, headquarter will respond. When signal go there, it said the prayers of the saints are sent to heaven as orders. So there are things that leave our heart. They are fragrances in the spirit. The moment you have the body and you say, Lord, how can I change this country? Whew. Fragrance. Then you see angels that have not been mobilized since the war began. God will now send them. This is the time for Africa. Meanwhile, what activated those angels were the burdens of your heart. And then things begin to move in the heavens. You suddenly discover a place where nobody had been president before. Politics of heaven begins. You know, people think they are doing politics of air on earth. Earth is a realm of manipulation. The real politics is in the spirit. That's why our politicians who know what is happening, they don't depart from shrines. But there's a superior realm. It's the presence of Abba. But for you to activate that, there must be a body. Never allow anything discharge bodies from your heart. When you lose body, you become naked in the spirit. There's nothing for the Holy Ghost to incubate upon. But those who carry body, heaven is mindful of them. The first law of encounter is the law of bodies. The second law of encounter is the law of hunger and seeking. If you don't seek, you won't find. Spiritual things are too precious. They are only revealed to seekers. It says if you seek, you find. If you knock, the door is open. So those who don't seek, find nothing. And when you seek an encounter, you must seek with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. He said, when you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with the whole of your heart. I was teaching here a year ago. And I told you, it's not this thing we do in church when we come. Because they sang a song that is emotional. And you wept for 5 minutes. That's not what we are saying here. God knows your propensity. When you wanted to marry, he knew how you sought that woman. When you needed a contract, he knew how you sought that contract. So when you want to seek him, you must surpass what you've done before. That's when encounters happen. If you seek me, you find me. when you seek me with the whole of your heart. Number three is the law of the presence. You want to have encounters, you must stand in the presence of God, because that's where encounters happen. Isaiah was in the presence. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1. Because there are men who stand there. In 1 Kings 17 verse 1, Elijah said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. If you culture your secret place enough, the shadow of the Almighty will come there. He said, a man who dwells in the secret place of God abides under the shadow. So the presence of God is your secret place. That's where the Shekinah manifests. The presence of God is everywhere, but the consecrated presence is in the secret place where you meet your God. You must build the discipline of the spirit to culture a place where you meet God. Cornelius had it. He built it through prayer and almsgiving. Acts 10 from verse 1. An angel appeared there. So if you want encounter, you must build a secret place that becomes the shadow of the Almighty. And finally, if you want encounter, you must serve. Only those who serve have encounters. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. I'm telling you, this is why our generation no longer have men who know God. Tell somebody to pick paper from the ground. He says 20,000. Meanwhile, in the days of our fathers, when they punish people, they remove them from church activity. They beg for it. But our generation, you call, you pamper, you pay before they do it. I know there's a place of having a staff, a body of staff in church. But if everything you do for God, they pay you for it, you are a hireling. You have no place in the corridors of heaven. That's why you can never know God. All you know about God, somebody will tell you. And if you don't know him in time, there's no guarantee that you know him in eternity. So there are people who will only hear about God for a lifetime and for all eternity. But John said that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we looked upon, and our hands handled. We have handled this thing. It's no longer a story somebody told us, but the pathway to routing it is service. He said in 1 Samuel 3 from verse 1, and he said in those days, the child Samuel ministered, that service, unto the Lord before Eli. He said the word of the Lord was cast. There were no open vision. But a man who serves in truth, the word can be cast. From verse 2, 3 and 4, suddenly he was sleeping on the altar when the evil lamp was out, and he heard the voice, Samuel. He went to Eli. He took the high priest 3 times to know it was God. Because it was long, somebody heard God. And if God comes, is it this little boy? It's the one who serves God sees, not the one who is old or young. It's not about age, it's about service. And God spoke to the boy. And Eli said, when next you hear, say, God, Lord, thy servant is listening. Speak. And that was how God began a new dispensation with a young boy. No credential, no training, no stature, no ranking, but he had service. He had service. See, every opportunity you have to serve, do it with all your heart. Apart from the fact that in occasions reward, he opens you up to dimensions of God. Encounters. And this is not just I saw God, it changes your life. In verse 20, the word of the Lord appeared to Samuel again in Shiloh. Verse 21 now. In verse 20, none of his words fell to the ground. And he said, from Beersheba to Dan, the whole Israelites knew that Samuel was a prophet. He found his place. He found his place. There is a place God has designed for you, but it will take an encounter to enter there. The guy found his place, but he routed it through service. You want to be reset? You must have encounters. And encounters are not for a few. They are for every one of us. But do you have a burden? Are you a seeker? Do you serve? Those are the precursors of encounters. An encounter is a precursor of spiritual reset. Number two, what is the second factor that makes for spiritual reset? It's prophecies. Prophecies. Oh, nothing changes a man faster than prophecies. When I was reading my Bible, one scripture that made me struck was Ezekiel 37. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He took me to a valley of dry bones. And the prophet used his scientific mind And he said, I examined the bones. They were really dry. Dry bones. The bones were not just dry. They were detached. No head was connected to a neck. No limb was connected. Scattered and decayed. And God spoke to the prophet, can these bones live? The man was wise. Lord, if I want to answer you truthfully, what I'm seeing here, I know you do miracles, but I've never seen anyone at this level. So let's leave this question. Let's send it back to your realm. You send the question to this realm, we are sending it back. The researchers that can give us the right answer, they are not among men. Only thou knowest. And God said, okay, there's a way these bones can live. In verse 4, it said, prophesy to the bones. So prophecy can turn anything around. That's why in Hosea 12:13, by a prophet, he brought them out of captivity. By a prophet, they were preserved. Prophecy can change anything. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. It says prophecy is for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. You can't receive prophecy and be the same. It builds you up like an edifice. The word edification means to be built up. The word exhortation means to come to a state where you can't be discouraged. I'm talking capacity here that is divine. Research is a product of prophecy. Sir, Jesus said, the dead shall come back to life. These are not dead men. These are dry bones. They've gone beyond death. At least a dead man has flesh. You can't recognize who this person is. Imagine for a second, when the bones detach, some grinded to powder. So the powder, air has carried it to other countries. So we are not even talking what we are seeing. How about the decomposition that has vanished? But when prophecy went forth, every particle that left, if it was a mountain in Israel, even if it's Congo, the particle went to. The prophecy reversed time, gathered the particle, brought them back. And every particle assembled. When they assembled, every joint began to assemble. When the joint assembled, flesh appeared. When flesh appeared, breath entered. When they rose up, if they rose up as men, it would have been okay. They now rose up as an army. Do you know what it means to become an army? Go to the NDA and see how many people graduate. I'm told sometimes 2 hours to POP, they see sacks of people. That means you pass health test, you pass fitness test, you go through the rigor, then character can still disqualify you. So when an army rose, it means too many protocols were boycotted. I don't know the protocols that needs to be boycotted for your life to come, but I speak as I'm commanded in the name of Jesus. Dry bones rise again. The Bible said there is hope for a tree that is come down. It says at the scent of water. Do you know what that scent is? Prophecy. I know your situation is hopeless, but as surely as the Lord God liveth, by this time tomorrow, there will be a turnaround in your life. Reset. Prophecy defies logic. It defies mental power. It defies circumstance. It defies protocols. In 2 Kings 7 verse 1, after a nation suffered hunger, women were eating their children. Now, among men, the purest form of love is never between husband and wife. Make no mistakes about it. There are things you saw in your wife before you married her. It's a conditional love. There are things you saw in your husband before you accepted him. The purest form of love among men is between mother and child. That's why when the Bible wanted to show us the worst situation, he said, can a mother forget a child? Suck me. Because that's the only love that is pure in heaven. When women are eating their children, know that they've gone to a point of no return. And the prophet spoke casually, by this time tomorrow, a cup of barley will be sold for 1 shekel at at the gate of Samaria. The prime minister said, oh God, I know God too. I even know God to a level to know that there's a window of heaven. He said, but even if that window is open, this thing can't happen. And the prophet said, you will see it. You won't partake of it. And what did God use? Lepers. So God can turn dry bones to an army, and he can use lepers to deliver a nation. That's the excellency of the power of God. But what occasions is prophecy? In the name of Jesus, some of you didn't have the privilege of your parents to bless you. You didn't have the privilege of your parents to prophesy to you. I stand in faith with God's servant, and I stand in the office of the call as an apostle of Jesus. I decree and declare, let your life spring forth like the cedars. Let every stagnation be rolled away. Let doors open for you. Let there be a lifting for you. If there be any curse on your life, in the name of Jesus, I break it now. He said, although you were considered a wasteland, Isaiah 16 verse 15, he said, but I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. As you walk out of this hall, you become an eternal excellency. You become the joy of many generations. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down for a moment. I'm talking the powers that reset the life of a man. And hear this. If God can reset a dry bone, is it you who is still breathing that he can't reset? Who told you there's such a thing as a hopeless case? He said, even if you were dead, you will rise again. And he said, the hope is not only for the dead. He said, if you are alive, you will never die. So there is enough for everybody, regardless of where they are. You are entering the next level of your life. Number three, what occasions a reset? Prayer. You want a reset in your life, you must pray. Listen. There are things God does alone. There are other things he wants us to collaborate with him to do. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 19. It says we are co-laborers with God. So it's in prayer that we co-labor. This is why many look at other people's lives and they say God is biased. He's not biased. Any glory you see, there's a secret. Things don't happen here. As you walk out of this conference, tell yourself, things don't happen. People make things happen. By collaborating with spirits. And prayer is one of the ways to do it. It can change circumstances, and it can change you. That's the excellency of prayer. Sometimes when you pray, you change things. In Mark 11, 22. He said, there's a mountain before you, don't panic. It's natural for Satan to plant mountains before people. He said, but there's an answer. He said, command the mountain. Say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away. He said, if you don't doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. You know, in the realm of possibilities, the Bible began by telling us, it said, nothing is impossible to God. And now went further. He said, with God, all things are possible. So he brought us into the equation. Nothing is impossible to God means God can do all things. With God, all things are possible means we and God can do things. He now went further to say, to him that believeth, nothing is impossible. So he moved the power from God's realm to human realm. But the forces that make it happen is faith and prayer. Don't doubt in your heart. Verse 24, Mark 11, 22. Whatsoever ye desire, including moving mountains, he said, when you pray. So you don't speak until you pray. When you pray, believe that you have it, and you have it. Prayer changes things, and prayer also changes you. Isaiah, Jeremiah 33 verse 3, ask of me, I will answer. I don't only answer, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. In Matthew 17 verse 2, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. You enter transfiguration in prayer. I don't know what is stopping you to pray. Therefore, or thereby stagnating your life. in the name of Jesus, as you leave this conference, the fire of God will hit your soul. I said the fire of God will hit your soul. Number four, what makes for reset? The Rhema wall. God sends prophecy through men, but there's a place where God talks to you. The Rhema word. Luke 5, verse 4 and 5. Trained fishermen toiled all night, had no catch. And the master said, launch to the deep. Lord, we toiled all night, but at thy word. When they obeyed the word that came to them, things shifted. You know, most of you are driving. God speaks to your heart. You think you are dreaming. That's your answer that just came. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word. He healed them. He delivered them from all their troubles. When the word comes, things change. Because even the earth was created by the word. He said, all things were made by the word. Without him was not anything made that was made. John 1 verse 2. He said, he sustains all things by the word of his power. Hebrews 1 verse 3. So when the word comes to you, your change has come. I'm preaching now. God can be saying something to your heart. Your job is to catch it. He's talking encounter. God is giving you instruction. That's how it works. You'll catch it and run with it. And your word changes. The word changes you and it changes your world. Number four, instructions. I'm rounding up. 2 minutes, I'm done. Number five now. One of the ways God changes us, resets us, is by instruction. The Bible speaking in Proverbs now. Oh Jesus, I've come to understand that many are in trouble because they despise instruction. Proverbs 21:16, it says, he that wandereth from the path of instruction shall dwell in the congregation of the dead. So if you begin to refuse instruction, you're already a wanderer. First, you are a wanderer. It means your life is going nowhere. But in case you find the destination, it says the congregation of the dead. That means you will end up in desolation. And that's why many are failing. They despise instruction. Isaiah 34:16, search ye out of the book of the Lord and read. None of these things will fail. He said the mouth of the Lord spoke it. His spirit gathered it. Instructions are the manuals for life. A man who despises them does that at his own destruction. We must gather as much instructions as we can. And you receive instruction from God and from authorities that he places over you. In Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. Observe to do what is written therein. He didn't say God will make you successful. He said you will make your way prosperous and have good success. That means prosperity and good success is a function of God and it's also a function of man. But what are the instructions you are living by? There are many people without instruction. So they are like buildings without walls. No defense. And then God gives you instruction through authorities that he puts over you. Hebrews 13:17, he said, obey them that have rule over you. He said, it is profitable unto you. Many can't change because nobody can talk to them. They know everything, but they don't have the results to show that they know. The Bible said, you shall know the truth. The proof that you know is not to talk. It's the result you command. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. You claim to know so much and there's no result in your life. Does it not suggest that pride wants to destroy you? Anywhere things work for everybody, instruction is the security system. This is a church where you have many military generals. Sit to them, ask questions. In the army, they say, obey before complain. We know you know something, but obey first. And if you disobey, if you don't go away, then know that you will be court-martialed. The only is finished. You are finished. That means disobedience is your prosperity. No wonder Job 36:11 said, if they obey and serve me, they will live their years in prosperity and their days in pleasure. So if you don't have the glory of God in your life, check. Many times, it's rebellion that is at the foundation. The Bible said, the rebellious shall dwell
in a dry land. Psalm 68, verse 6.
I don't have more time. I will round up now. There are many more things. I'll list them. You go do your study. Number 6 is trials. Sometimes we think trials are a disadvantage. There are many things God allows you to go through, because those circumstances will get you thinking and reset you. When you study Luke 15, the prodigal son, nothing they said in that house helped him. He asked his father for his property, they gave him. When he spent it, he now discovered that genuine friends are not the people you met when you have resources. That's the first thing he discovered. Because when everything finished, the people vanished. Number 2, he now discovers that they don't give somebody anything who doesn't have value. When he came, nobody accepted him. Number 3, he discovered that life has no sentiment. They threw him to a pig pen. He was feeding amongst pigs. Now that circumstance became a school for him. The Bible says he came to himself. No encounter could make him come to himself. No instruction could make him come to himself. But trials have a way of torturing your soul until you hear with yourselves, not your ear. So the things that you can't deceive through encounters, a time will come when trials will teach you. That's why James said, count it all joy when you go through trials. Because there is a school locked into trials. But you see, don't wait for trials to learn. Learn quick through instruction. They say, I observed thy precepts and it delivered me from destruction. But if you have to learn through trials, trust me, there's enough language there to reset you. That's why the Bible gave parents authority to generate trial mechanically. It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It says, but the rod of correction. So a child doesn't have too much experience, but we can create trials around him through the cane can intensify the wisdom of instruction. Only Yeshua will reign forever. His kingdom there'll be no end. Oh, Mahela Taya. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost? Mahele Ketano Sabakai. Rika Patone Sabaka. Now hear me. I have a word tonight for someone. I didn't finish my teaching, but I came to occasion an encounter and to occasion a deliverance. These are the two things God sent me here to do. You know, John said, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, we saw, we looked upon, and we handled. So God gave them an encounter. But it didn't stop there. He said, we have come to deliver it to you, that you may have fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father. So God can give you an encounter, and God can send men to bring you an encounter. I came to occasion an encounter for someone. In the name of Jesus, the heavens over you are open. Can we pray? Can we pray for 1 minute? Let's pray in a minute. Just pray. Katopare katena. Tehila, Kayato, Peketaronia, Barakata, Pata. Ah, there are kings. There are kingdoms. There are mountains and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will reign forever to his kingdom. To his kingdom. There are mountains, down there are As you walk out of this meeting, an angel of the Lord will appear to you. Some of you, as you walk out of this meeting, an instruction will be fired into your heart. Some of you, as you walk out of this meeting, the realm will be open to you. In the name of Jesus, step into an encounter now. Finally, it says, shall the lawful captive be delivered? It says, shall the prey be taken from the hands of the mighty? It says, thus hear the Lord. Even the captive of the mighty shall be delivered, and the prey of the terrible. The prey of the terrible. It says, he shall be set free. Isaiah 49 verse 24-25. In the name of Jesus, I decree now, anyone kept in captivity, anyone kept in bondage, let the chains break now. Captivity of sin and addiction, immorality, pornography, lying, exaggeration, pride, whatever it is, I command the chains to break. Captivity of sickness, death, I cause it to its root. In the name of Jesus, let the chains break now. 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 In the name of Jesus, I command tumors to dematerialize. I command ear conditions to be healed. I command eye conditions to be healed. I command blood conditions to be healed. I command organ infections to be healed. Receive your healing now. In the name of Jesus. And finally, circumstantial crisis. There are powers that have separated some of us from our helpers. Somehow we can't meet them. And even when we meet them, indignation, they just despise us. There are some of us that hair breaks loose every day. There is an appointment for us. In the name of Jesus, every manipulated circumstance against your destiny. The Bible said, the line shall fall unto me in pleasant places. It says, I have a goodly heritage. I command the lines to fall for you in pleasant places now. Step into divine programming for abundance. In the name of Jesus. Can you give the Lord a shout? Now, we are going to do a prophetic action. But I show you why. The seventh thing that makes for reset is corporate gathering. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, as a man the countenance of his friend. See, when we gather like this, things are rubbing off. He said, behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. He said, it's like the oil upon the head of Aaron that flows through his beard, that runs to his skirt. That means when we collaborate like this, individual class and ranking is separated. That's why sometimes you sit in church, you turn by your left, the person sitting there is a general. There's nowhere else you and him will sit in one place. Nowhere in your life. But church creates a bridge. You turn by your right, the person sitting there is a billionaire in dollars. There's no way, but God creates an equilibrium to mirror oneness in the spirit. So when we gather like this, blessings are flowing. Dimensions are flowing. See, every good thing of God that is in this auditorium, every divine inheritance, every grace, in the name of Jesus, I open it up. Standing in agreement with God's servant, I open it up. Partake of it now. Partake of it now. Partake of it now. Partake of it now. Enter the prophetic. Extra wisdom, extra favor, extra wealth, extra deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Number 8, thanksgiving. Nothing resets like thanksgiving. Out of them shall flow the voice of them that make merry. And I will glorify them. They shall not be small. I will multiply them. They shall not be few. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. This is where men are glorified. This is where the capacity of men grow in unimaginable propensity. When we give thanks, even the dead can come back to life. John 11, 40. Have I not told you? If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And he turned to a man who was buried for 4 days. The Bible says he looked up and gave thanks. The moment he did it, Lazarus, come forth. When you give thanks, you become a commander. And he that was dead came back to life. See, we are going to thank God now. Don't be left out. Unction will flow here. Our gathering and not alone is power enough. When we now thank God together, heaven breaks open. No wonder 2 Chronicles 20:20, it said, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe in his prophet, you shall prosper. But there's something you do when you believe. It said, they gathered singers. And as they began to thank God, verse 22, God set an ambushment. So as we are thanking God here, we are not just being glorified. We are not just being empowered. There will be resonance effect in the camp of the enemy. And this time, it will be for their destruction. Wherever they gang up on your matter, they are about to scatter. It doesn't matter where they are. They can be in a kobo. They can be in the seat of government. They can be in the market. They will scatter now. Can we thank God? Now hear this. We are going to thank the Lord for 1 minute. But before we do that, all these things I shared is not for everybody. It's only for those who are saved. So if you are not saved, you can't even begin to have a reset. The foundation of all reset is salvation. John 3 verse 3. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. John 3 verse 6. It says, except to be born again, you can't see the kingdom. John 3, 3, John 3, 6 now. And then verse 8, as the wind bloweth. Thou listest not from whence it cometh, or where it goeth, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. So 3 verse 3 says you must repent. 3 verse 6 said that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit. 3 verse 8 said those who are born of God are not just spirit, but they are like the wind. That's why Satan can't catch you. That's when they can't gang up against you. You are here before we enter praise. You are not sure of your walk with Jesus. That's where your reset begins from. Lift your right hand quickly. Make peace with God. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I'm seeing hands there. Make peace with God. Make peace with God so that you partake of this inheritance. Lift that hand properly. Don't be ashamed. He said, if you are not ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. If your hands are lifted, in 1 minute, pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead for my justification. Tonight, before the church of Jesus, I confess with my mouth that this same Jesus is my Lord. And is my Savior. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone who prayed this prayer, Lord, let your hand remain upon them. May they never fall. May they never be victimized. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now we are sure that everybody can partake. So can the choir help me 1 minute? Do I have a very anointed praise singer? Sir, please forgive me. My God, I've exceeded my time. You know, sometimes when we enter the realm, we become more conscious of eternity. I thought I was in the other side of reality. Somebody give the Lord a shout! We praise him from everlasting, everlasting to everlasting. I will praise him from everlasting to everlasting.
Lord is King, the Lord is God.
Can you lift your right hand toward heaven? There's an anointing for breaking chains here now. The Bible said in Acts 16:25, they arrested Paul and Silas, bound them, threw them to prison. You see, at midnight, they prayed. They sang praises. And it said, suddenly, the foundation of the prison shook, and the doors opened on their own accord. I don't know the challenge you came with, but lift your hand. Something is about to hit someone here. Chains are about to break. Crisis, health crisis, are about to be lifted. Addictions are about to break. Power, hold it down. Your finances are about to be lifted. There's an anointing here. My God, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. People suffering from marital crisis. Holy Ghost, this is the time. This is the time. Ushers, help me. Ushers, help me. Anyone touched, help me fast. Paketokarina, Pakoria, Pakoria, Seketene, Atele, Katoria, Pakataya. Let the chains break. Let foundational courses be lifted. Let family patterns break. Let demonic forces move. Holy Ghost, touch. 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 Wherever they are, reproach, disfavor, rejection, stagnation, near success syndrome, I curse them.
Rivers of living waters, out of my belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living.
Help that one there. The power of God is moving.
Let it flow, let it flow. Koraka patona paka. Zeketene. Sasetilia. Chaka.
There is a fire coming on someone now. A revivalist fire. The fire of revival. Wherever you are standing, let that fire come upon you. Hepa, there is a fire. There is a flame. I release that flame now. Zeketone. Chaka. Zehila. Kabal. There is a fire descending here. Man, that their altars have gone dormant. There is a revivalist coming. It comes like fire. Wherever you are standing, you are set for revival. In the name of Jesus, carry that flame now. Carry that flame now. I'm seeing the grace for speed. 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 You have been on one spot for too long. He said the hand of God was upon Elijah. Your career. Your business, your ministry, speed, speed, in the name of Jesus, take that grace now, take that grace.
Let it flow, 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 oh, let it flow, right here, right now, right now, and as the river flow. It is to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, can we be still for 5 seconds? I'm done. I sense a wind. Men are about to change status. Men are about to change ranking in the spirit. Badges are being exchanged. Rank is being exchanged. There's a wind. Let's be quiet for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Some of it will hit you, you will scream. Flow. Some will pray in the spirit. It's a wind. Now let it blow. On ground, online. Shift in status. Shift in position. Change in rank. Transition in dimension. Father, where are they? The witnesses, the witnesses, the witnesses, the witnesses. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. The witnesses. the witnesses, ushers and them. Fires are being rekindled. Fires are being rekindled. Businesses that went dormant are coming back alive. Help her so she's not injured. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, for the glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.